Chris, it's great to have you on. It's Grant and Doug. How are you? The Lindsay Football Report begins now. What's happening?
Hey, how we doing, guys? I'm doing doing good. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah. Well, all right. So fill in the blank for me. If this team wins this weekend, they're in the college football playoff. So fill in the blank. If this blank team wins, so who give me the winners this weekend and they're in, and then who's left out in the cold? How's this thing going to work?
Sure. The ACC championship, Clemson or Miami, winners in. SEC championship game, Georgia, Auburn, winners in. Oklahoma and Wisconsin. Those six teams kind of control their fate. They win, they're in. I think the loser of those games are out. And Oklahoma and Wisconsin, if they beat TCU and Ohio State respectively, they're in.
All right, so that means Alabama would not be in.
Correct, yeah. A unbeaten Wisconsin would get in, one-loss Big Ten champion, and then Big 12 champion Oklahoma, and the SEC champion and the ACC champion if they went out. Now, I think where it changes a little bit is if Wisconsin loses or Oklahoma loses, then I think it opens the door for the possibility of Alabama, Ohio State, or both, if both Oklahoma and Wisconsin lose. But that's how I see it right now.
You know, Chris, explain to me how at some point they don't, I guess they kind of recede the situation, because Alabama loses to Auburn, who was ranked, six or eight, but Clemson loses to Syracuse, which shouldn't. They're playing well now. I totally get it. Explain how that makes sense in the big scheme of things.
Oh, I can't explain anything making sense. Stop right there.
Okay.
I can't do that. It's hard to really figure out how they do it. In terms of, I think it's very arbitrary. They seem to be okay with Clemson losing because they didn't have their quarterback that game. But Alabama was pretty banged up and got beat by Auburn. So, mm-hmm. I'm with you. I think they go through different scenarios and possibilities of how they – in criteria, I should say, how they evaluate teams. But it seems very arbitrary. It really does. I think it's – I'm not real a big fan of how they do it. I think conference championships mean a lot to them, but it doesn't mean everything. Like last year when Ohio State got in over Penn State. And I think that's based upon how things stand now, how we'll go. But I'm not certain. Guessing what other people are going to do is going to be it's certainly difficult.
All right, so let's talk about some of these conference championship games, and give me, if there is, an underdog that you think would have the best chance of winning this weekend.
Oh, I don't know that Ohio State – I think Ohio State's the favorite. Technically, I believe they are, and that would be – they certainly have the best chance, even though Wisconsin's unbeaten. I think Ohio State's actually favored. So I don't like TCU's chances of beating Oklahoma. So I would say that TCU beating Oklahoma is less likely, and Ohio State beating Wisconsin is most likely. And I think the SEC and the ACC championship games are, I'd favor Auburn and Clemson, but I think both of those teams could win. As I said, I think the winner's in, the loser's out.
Chris, let's say that all the top four teams, because they all play, say they all lose. At that point, give me your top four.
Oh, my heavens.
I keep asking those questions
damn. All right, let's look at it. Miami beats Clemson.
Right.
Georgia beats Auburn. Those are definitely both in. I think Alabama's in there, and then Wisconsin's in there. So, Ohio State's in there because they beat Wisconsin. They all four lose.
Wow.
So, in some order, in some order of Georgia, Miami, Alabama, and Ohio State. Ohio State would be four, Alabama three, and then I don't know what they would do with one or two, Miami, Georgia, or Georgia, Miami.
Can you imagine, Chris, the uprising and one-loss Wisconsin and an Ohio State team that absolutely got the dog crap beat out of them by Iowa?
Hey, Chris. Yeah. So help me out here. When we get done with this weekend, and I'm just going to ask you for your opinion, which team is going to be crying the loudest? Like, in other words, like, which team you think is going to have the biggest argument and crying the most that they're not in the Final Four?
Well, the team that's going to cry the most, the fan base that's going to cry the most, is Alabama. You know, because they feel like they're one of the four best teams in the country. And I wouldn't necessarily argue it. They're not going to get in over Wisconsin because they lost. That's going to be the fan base that's going to be the most unhappy.
Okay.
You know, if it plays out that way. Now, if Alabama gets in, then whoever they replace would be the loudest cry, I would say.
Chris, is there a way that if one of these teams, because I don't think every team is going to win. I think there's going to be an upset in those four. But is there a way that if one of them wins, Alabama still doesn't get in? Do you see that scenario?
You know, here's the thing about it. If, let's say, Ohio State beats Wisconsin, let's just say the others kind of play out and that's the one team.
Okay.
Then what I think is going to be interesting is it'll be a serious debate between Ohio State and Alabama. Now, I think Alabama's better than Ohio State.
Right.
But if you listen to the committee chair last night, he said 5-8 are very close.
Oh, boy.
So if it's that close, Alabama and Ohio State, and Alabama doesn't play, and Ohio State beats Wisconsin and wins the Big Ten championship, it sounded to me like he was hinting
wow.
that Ohio State would jump Alabama. And if that would happen, that would be we'd be quite controversial. Well, it'd be controversial either way because you're putting Alabama in over Ohio State, Ohio State in over Alabama. It would be a healthy debate, and that's where, you know, that would be the biggest cry to Grant's answer, the biggest cry to whoever gets left out.
I listen, it doesn't matter what I say, it doesn't matter what you say, but I got to tell you, I'm looking at this from afar. I just don't understand how in that scenario you could put Ohio State in over Alabama when they get beat badly at home by Oklahoma, who's obviously a really good football team. But I'm sorry, I cannot erase the Iowa game from my memory. And that to me right there, it's not like Alabama lost to a bad team on Saturday.
Right.
They lost on the road to the sixth-ranked team in the country. Come on now.
That's right. I agree with you. And listen, you know, to kind of – to Doug's point, too, on his Clemson deal, and I know quarterbacks are – you know, different, but, you know, Clemson, they're giving them a break that they didn't have their quarterback. Alabama was down a number of, you know, players, not quarterbacks, but on defense.
Yep.
And Ohio State lost some guys against Iowa. I'm with you. To me, it's not even close. I would have Alabama in over Ohio State.
Hey.
I think Alabama's a better team than Ohio State. And I'm, you know, it'll be interesting to see. Listen, secretly, I'm rubbing my hands and hoping one of those things happens because I want to see it. I want to see what they were going to do, and because you know it would be an easy way out for them and clean if they win. If you want more teams in the playoff, if you're one of those people, you want controversy because that's what's going to lead to it. Because this is a very reactive, not proactive process, as you guys well know.
Chris, help me out here on this debacle that has happened over the last couple of days with Tennessee.
It is unlike anything I've seen. I've been around football for a long time, and while there have been some weird things that I've seen happen in coaching searches, none of them have happened to this degree in the modern era of social media. You know what I mean? When things
right.
happen and you hear about it, and it's in retrospect, you look at it, and wow, that's how it went down. I mean, they're great stories. That's a great book one day. I'm going to do a podcast on it one day,
right.
Things that happen. But this is happening right in front of you, and it's like it's hard to really put your arms around. Look, there's no doubt there's tremendous passion in the SEC in a very fanatical fan base, and it is – within the right of a fan to like or dislike who somebody hires. In the end, you got to do what's best for your university, and if you do your job, you stick by your guns, and that's that. What I do not like, and what I think is very disturbing, is to – you can have an opinion on who you want to be your team's coach, but when you start to take that dislike for that guy as a fit for your school or team – and you start to throw in innuendos of things that are involved or being witness to a heinous act like they were throwing out with this guy, this is really, really sick because, mm-hmm. you know, you can criticize and maybe question, hey, I think this guy might get fired or what have you. That's one thing. But when you're talking about, you know, basically questioning whether this guy saw something that happened when the Jerry Sandusky era at Penn State, when there's no evidence that he did, that's going to a level that is very, very disturbing in my view.
Do you think in Tennessee there's any chance, because you flirt with Mike Gundy, obviously Oklahoma State says, you know, we're going to sign you forever pretty much. Do you think that they just throw a boatload of money at somebody who they really don't want just to try to, I don't know, put a finger in the dike?
I don't think so. They made a run at Jeff Brohm today, who would have been a great hire from Purdue, and they kind of haggled over his buyout at Purdue. So I don't think they're throwing a lot of money that way. I think they're obviously in an embarrassing situation because what's happening, it's become a public turndown of this guy and that guy. So, you know, I still think they're looking at to me, Chad Morris makes a lot of sense. I'm not thrilled with Dave Doran of NC State, who it looks like it's one of the guys that they're potentially turning to. You know, in the end, guys, they may hire a good coach, but this process has led to quite an embarrassing situation. And I think that they're willing to spend some money, but apparently they're not willing to spend as much money as they probably need to. And if they're going to win and get Tennessee football back, they're going to have to put money into the infrastructure, this program, support staff and whatnot, because that's the problem as I see it.
What does this do to the recruiting process? I guess that's the big one.
It hurts it right now, but, you know, if you find the right guy, that can flip, you know, in a heartbeat. You know how that is.
Yeah.
But right now, it's bad. And I'm going to tell you, the whole situation with Schiano is made a lot of coaches look and say, well, wait a minute. If I go there, what type of support system do we have and administrative staff do we have at Tennessee? Are they going to support me if things go bad and you have a 3-game losing streak, or they're going to come out with their pitchforks and say, hey, you know, run this guy out of town? I mean, it just creates a black eye to your program that, you know, I don't know that is really there, but it gives a perception, and it's something that they're going to have to face head on.
Chris Landry, the Landry Football Report. You've been in NFL front offices before, so the news coming out of New York yesterday, what was your reaction as it relates to Eli Manning and the way this has handled?
I'm disappointed how the Giants have handled this entire season and a lot of things that Ben McAdoo's done or hasn't done, and Jerry Reese, and I think they've just handled this poorly. I completely understand, and as a member of management, understand completely that wanting to play a young quarterback when you're eliminated from the playoffs is fine. It's understandable. But I think there are ways that you handle things, and I think they've handled it poorly. And I think if they could go back and do it again, I think they could have handled it in a way to where perhaps he might have been willing to compromise and play, you know, start and do things. But, you know, I completely understand his situation, and the team comes before any individual player. But that's a tough thing to do as a member of management. But I think having respect for your players is really important, and it's hard to garner respect in your organization if you don't show proper respect yourself. And I think they really falter there.
Chris, answer this. If the New York Football Giants get beat down really bad by the Raiders, is Ben McAdoo the coach next week?
It's getting close to where, you know, he's not going to be the coach next year, and I think it could happen at any point. I think that last shoe could just drop, you know, depending on how this team reacts in the next 2 or 3 weeks. I really think it's just a matter of time. And so, you know, I think that is definitely in play. I don't have a guess on when it's going to be, but it's coming. I think it's pretty clear.
When you look at the Kansas City Chiefs right now, what do you see as their biggest issue?
not able to run the football, and it's caused them all the problems on their offense because they're not able to set up the play-action passing game. And, you know, defensively they can't stop the run. They're trying to play a lot of 30 fronts on early downs and trying to slow down the run, but they can't run it. They can't stop the run. And, you know, it's a big problem. It's what's changed them, and, you know, I think it's a little thing, but it's little things that mean a lot, that their whole passing game is built on their ability to run it, run play action, run the boots and everything, and that's not working. It's killing them.
Marcus Mariota, you got your slumps, but right now turning the ball over at a high clip, do you see something when you watch them that stands out at you, Chris?
Yeah, you know, the thing about him, I think he's still developing as a pocket guy.
Mm.
And, you know, another case of, look, you've got to run the football well, and I think that he does a good job, again, with play action and getting outside the pocket. He protects the football well in the red zone, but I think in some other areas of the field when they get a little aggressive, that's when he can make mistakes. He's not what I call just the purest of passers, but I think is just getting better and better, and I like his attitude. But it is definitely a work in progress there.
We're talking with Chris Landry. I always love, as we turn the calendar from November to December this weekend, I've always thought that LandryFootball.com can make a great gift for someone. So let's talk about some of the offers you have right now.
Well, we got a special offer up on the website that, you know, between now and the end of the year, it's over 60% off. It was kind of against my better judgment. I said, you know what? It's the holiday spirit. And, you know, why not? The rest of the football season, obviously recruiting, the free agency, the draft, takes you all the way through next football season. So, listen, if you're a football fan and you like football, you'll love LandryFootball.com. We take you inside the game, the film room, break it down for you, give you all the latest news and information, like all these coaching searches that are going on, breaking down in detail all of these college conference championship games this weekend. All the NFL games are broken down each and every week inside the film room. So that's what we do for you. And again, if it involves players, teams, coaches, schemes, breaking down the college and pro game, that's what we do for you.
You know, Doug and I were talking about, you know, the quarterbacks for next year, and we don't really know who yet is coming out. But when you look at spring's draft in a couple of months, are we looking at a solid group of quarterbacks, or is it too early to tell because we don't know who's coming out?
Well, I think it's a good group. And, you know, I think Josh Rosen is someone that has a lot of physical skills. But how committed is he to football? And those things need to be vetted. I don't know that Sam Darnold is coming out of USC. He needs a little more seasoning, but I like him a lot, and I think he'll be a good player down the road. Lamar Jackson of Louisville is more athlete than quarterback, but he can throw it. He just needs a lot of development at this point. Baker Mayfield, you know, talked a little bit about his, you know, his character, his maturity level that needs to be vetted. I think he's really good. I like Josh Allen of Wyoming. So, and there are a few others. I think it's a good group. Now, as I always say with quarterbacks, spending that time to get to really know them and get to see what makes them tick is really key. And that hadn't been done yet. It won't be done until the appropriate time in February and March during the combine time. And you're right, we don't know exactly who's coming out. But those are some of the guys that anticipate coming out. And I think that there's a chance that we can have three or four guys potentially in the first round.
Great stuff, Chris. Enjoy the great weekend. I think that's ahead of us, both college and the NFL. And we'll chat with you next week.
It'll be great. Hey, thanks a bunch, guys. Take care.
Thank you.